back again on the April 2015 edition of the Mike Moore Show on Dakota Country 1210.
KOKK.
I am Performance Radio News Director Zach Nelson. I'm joined by Beadle County State's Attorney Mike Moore. Mike, as always, thank you for joining us here on KOKK as we take a monthly look at things in the legal realm. And I tell you what, it is awfully coincidental. Sometimes it works out this way that we're talking about this recent string of vandalisms on the show. Obviously, you wouldn't have hoped it to happen in the first place, but it certainly has got people in town fired up, wound up, and you do bring a very interesting, we talked about it just before the break, this year the legislature has put forth Senate Bill 73. It is the juvenile justice version of Senate Bill 70, which we've hammered to death on this program previously, and Mike, and not necessarily in a good and or a bad way, but Mike, you were hinting at before the break that while normally a bill like this would be a good thing, it may actually hinder victims' abilities to get compensation and to feel like justice has been done, is what I'm getting from what you're saying.
Absolutely, and there's some major changes in the new legislation from what we have currently in law to what we will have in place after July 1st. And I don't know how long this case will take to adjudicate. The question will be, if we adjudicate it after July 1st, does the new law apply or does the old law apply? That'll be have to be a question that'll be answered by a judge at some point. If it takes that long, hopefully it doesn't take that long. We can get it resolved prior to then. But there are some major differences that I think that are important to point out. This so people understand, you know, being a juvenile, the big thing about a juvenile, you're charged with a crime, intentional damage to property or burglary or possession of marijuana or ingesting. All those crimes are treated the same as if you're a juvenile. So what they are is you're a delinquent child. And that's what you get adjudicated, a delinquent child. So whether you commit disorderly conduct, which is a class 2 misdemeanor if you're an adult, 30 days in jail, or you commit burglary, which is a class 2 felony, you're still a delinquent child, and the same things can happen to you. That's the way juveniles are treated currently under the law and will be treated under the new law. And that's something that people don't understand. They think, well, they committed a burglary, they committed all these damages, or they've done a crime spree of things. At the end of the day, it's all the same. It's a delinquent child. They're treated the same. And that's the way the law has been for a number of years. So that's something that maintains the same. And what you can do with them has changed significantly. And you know, I brought the statutes with me. If you look at that, in the relevant section is SDCL 268C7, and that's for a child that's adjudicated to be a delinquent child, what you can do. It used to be under the old law, you can impose a fine of $1,000. That remains the same. You can put them in detention up to 90 days. That's it, just 90 days. And that remains the same in both. You can commit them to the Human Services Center. The big thing for juveniles is being committed to the Department of Corrections. And under the old law, if you look at the old law, number 5 under that section is the court may commit the child to the Department of Corrections if you're adjudicated a delinquent child. Under the new law, that's not the case. And in this case, with the crimes they're charged with, they actually would not be eligible to be committed to the Department of Corrections. And that's something that I think that the public has to be aware of, or that you should be aware of in the new law.
So in layman's terms, then, they under the new law, they can't go to prison.
Right. They can't. What you would consider a prison for a juvenile is the Department of Corrections. And what happens with a juvenile is the judge places them in the Department of Corrections, and then the Department of Corrections determines a placement for them. And a lot of those placements are like Our Home, Star Academy, used to be Custer Academy out in Custer, and there's other group homes like that across the state. That's what Department of Corrections is. And it would be similar to prison, but they're not secure facilities. They're staff secure is what they call them, so there's no fences around them or anything like that, but they're secure that you can't walk away because the staff are there and will stop you. We do have a secure facility in North Dakota that we use if that's what we need in the Department of Corrections. But that's what the Department of Corrections is for a juvenile. That's the worst thing that can happen to a juvenile, is to be placed with the Department of Corrections and go through their programming to help them get better.
But did I hear that right, that you said they can only do that for 90 days, or what am I misunderstanding there?
The 90 days is for detention, so that would be our local detention center. The judge could place him in detention up to 90 days. So that would be like a person in the adult system going to county jail as compared to going to prison. So that's the difference between detention and Department of Corrections.
Does that have an impact then on how rapidly you need to get these cases through the court system? I mean, and again, I don't know the individual statuses right now, if they're still being held or not, but if these cases go beyond 90 days and they're still being held at the Beadle County Detention Facility, because there is a juvenile annex there, a juvenile detention center, if that gets to the 91st day and you haven't processed all these cases through, are they then released?
No, being held pre-trial doesn't come into the punishment. So this is once you're adjudicated. So we can hold them pre-trial as long as the judge feels that they need to be held. But post-conviction, so after they're convicted, they could only be sentenced there for 90 days total.
Gotcha.
But and just go back to that, the Department of Corrections is a big thing, but that's what the old law says. The old law says that they can, the court can place a child in the Department of Corrections. The new law says the court may only commit a child to the Department of Corrections if the judge finds that, one, that no viable alternative exists, two, that the Department of Corrections is the least restrictive alternative, and the child is currently adjudicated for an offense eligible for transfer under 2611.3.1, which is the there's certain crimes. If you're 16 years of age of older and you commit a class 2 felony or above, that's an automatic transfer crime. So if it's not one of those crimes, you're not eligible to go to the Department of Corrections. So if you haven't committed a like a first degree burglary, a first degree rape, a homicide, you would not be eligible to go to Department of Corrections, unless there's an exception to that. They find that the juvenile is a significant risk of physical harm to another person. So it's really restrictive on who can be sent to the Department of Corrections. And so the crimes of burglary in the third degree, ingesting, intentional damage to property aren't eligible crimes to go to the Department of Corrections. So that would be an option that the court would not have unless the court found that they were a significant risk of physical harm to another person if they weren't sent to the Department of Corrections.
But that's only when it comes to physical harm to a person,
right?
Not an object.
Not vehicles, or if you're going to go out and commit more damage, it doesn't matter. You have to show that you're a significant risk to another person.
As you've discovered this, looking into it, obviously I would assume you hope that these cases go through before July 1st so you can use the stricter restrictions, or again, if the court permits you because they were committed prior to July 1st to do that. But has this particular case, I mean, is this going to cause you to want to go out to Pierre and maybe testify for some changes? I mean, do portions of this law need to be changed in your mind based on what you're seeing associated with this case?
Well, I don't, you know, this isn't something that's surprising to me because I read the law before it was passed. I was concerned about it before, and I voiced my concern to people that would listen, but this particular law had so much momentum and so much support behind it, there was no stopping it. It was going through. And I just think, and it's not, I'm not bashing the law by any means. I mean, it might sound like that, but what I'm trying to do is use an example of a case to show what's going to change. Because I think when you change a law or you write something down on paper, people can read it and say, oh, that sounds good. That sounds really good. But then you actually have something happen, and then you look at it and you say, well, maybe this wasn't such a good idea. And that's something that someone else is going to have to decide. It's not going to be me. If I go out to the legislature, I would testify factually of the difference in what would be happening. But I wouldn't advocate one way or the other, because I think that's not necessarily my job to do that. My job is to prosecute people, hold them accountable to what the law says at the time that they commit their crime, and do that. That other people, and I would, as I said, I would factually tell people what I thought or what the law was, or, you know, my opinion. But to do that, to lobby that, I think goes beyond the scope of what I'm supposed to do as the state's attorney for Beadle County.
Do you think, as a prosecuting attorney, that something, and obviously a case like this has got to be rare, you don't hear about it often, but it has left such an impact, should there be provisions that are a middle road somewhere to make sure the victims feel as if they're being properly, what's the word I'm looking for here, properly, that justice is served for them properly? Or to their satisfaction.
Well, right. And you know, the thing that, and we didn't get to this part yet, but once you put these kids on probation, what happens then? And I think you'll find that interesting. Maybe we can do that after the break, but I'll talk a little bit about that. And that kind of comes back to what's going to happen with the victims, because you have this large amount of restitution, and I think you'll be surprised about what you can actually do. I mean, when you, and I'll give you a teaser to start, but it's 4 months. 4 months is all you can do, and there's some exceptions to that, but you can only put a kid on probation for 4 months, and I don't know many kids around could pay $80,000 in 4 months. So we'll talk about that when we come back.
We will. Very interesting program this month. We hope you're enjoying it. It is the Mike Moore Show here on Dakota Country 1210
KOKK.
We'll be right back.